Yeah, we're continuing in the piece of Lego on the lectern here. Right, okay. In the series of the I Am sayings of Jesus. And tonight, this morning, we're going to look at Jesus said, I am the true vine. It's actually the last of the I Am sayings of Jesus. So we're not quite doing this in order exactly, but as we are able. So we're going to turn to John chapter 15 and read verses 1 to 17. John chapter 15, verses 1 to 17. We've got to read further on in the chapter towards the end, but starting there. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. But every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last, so that whatever you ask in my name the Father will give you. This is my command. Love each other. Yes, this is the last of the seven I Am sayings of Jesus. And I don't know if you've noticed about the other I Am sayings of Jesus. They're all about life. In fact, three of them actually have the word life in them. I'm the bread of life. I'm the resurrection and the life. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And the others are pictures of what Jesus is like. And in each saying somewhere, there is life. The vine, for example. There's no life apart from remaining in the vine. You can't bear fruit unless you're remaining in the vine, and that life flows through you. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. And elsewhere he says, I'm the light of life. I am the good shepherd. I came that they may have life. And the others, I am the resurrection and the life, the way, the truth and the life. And I am the true vine, which we're looking at this morning. Life, abundant life and eternal life. Life of those characteristics. Now, we come to the last one, I am the true vine. And this saying of Jesus seems at first a little bit more abstract than the others. The others are quite exciting, aren't they? I'm the way, the truth and the life. I'm the resurrection and the life. I'm the good shepherd. But I am the vine, quite how do I relate to that? Because I'm not a vegetable. It's a picture of life and how it works and how life is sustained. And in the book of Acts, Peter says Jesus, he is the author of life. And Paul in Corinthians, he is the source of your life. And he's talking about the spiritual life that we have. Elsewhere, another picture is that we are the body of Christ. And each part is nourished from the source. And unless we are in Christ's body, we can't sustain that life within ourselves. How are we the body of Christ? I was thinking about this the other day. How can we be the body of Christ? Jesus was given a body. It says in the scriptures that God the Father prepared a body for Jesus. as we all have a body. But the body of Jesus, the physical body of Jesus, is in heaven at the right hand of God. He went up there on the before Pentecost, after the resurrection, 40 days after the resurrection. He ascended physically, bodily, to be in the presence of his Father. So how are we the body of Christ? Because Christ's body is in heaven. And the answer is, it's because the Spirit of Jesus dwells within us. So each of us have a spirit and a soul, and my spirit dwells in my body, and so it is for all of you as well. But the Spirit of Jesus also dwells in each one of us who are believers in him, and together that makes us his body. So it's a spiritual thing. And that wasn't always the case, of course. The Spirit of God did not always dwell in us individually. It was only as individuals we bowed the knee and said, Lord Jesus, I want you to be the king of my life. I want you to be in my life. I want to be your servant, your child, and your friend. And the Holy Spirit makes us alive. It's a thing that happens. We are born again by the power of the Spirit of God. It's a miracle, the greatest miracle that God can ever do for anybody. His Spirit comes and dwells within us. We have that hope of eternal life. And the Holy Spirit within us is telling us that this is so. And Paul uses another illustration about the vine, and he uses the illustration of an olive tree. There are several illustrations that Jesus uses: the vine, the olive tree, and the fig tree, all of which point to how his kingdom works, how that life works. And Paul says that we were like wild olives grafted in to a pure bred, cultivated olive tree. The cultivated olive tree, of course, refers to the Jewish nation and all the heritage, the oracles of God that they'd inherited. And that's in Romans chapter 11, if you want to read it, of course. It says, you Gentiles, you're like grafted in, and you share in that source of life that comes up from the root, the sap that comes up through the branches. And he says, the Jews, because they didn't believe, they were broken off. And some of the things that we read in here in John chapter 15 are actually quite uncomfortable. It's not all, oh, hallelujah, how wonderful, how lovely. No. If you don't remain in the vine, you can't bear fruit. And if you don't remain in the vine, verse 6 of chapter 15, such a branch is thrown away and withers. And who is the branch? We are. Jesus is the vine. We are the branches. And that's a bit harsh, it sounds, doesn't it? But what Jesus is saying is, unless you remain in me, abide in me, he says, then you don't have any life. That life isn't going to flow, and you're going to wither and die in your spirit. Now, abiding in the vine, just what does that mean? And how do we do it? So, you know, think, okay, Lord, I really want to abide in the vine. Ooh, screw up my concentration, and right, I'm going to abide in the vine. But it doesn't quite work like that. But we are given some definite clues. Verse 7. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish. So we need to have the word of God inside us. We need to listen to what Jesus is saying to us. We need to read his word, the Bible, and the sayings of Jesus. We also need to listen to what the Holy Spirit within us is telling us. Listen to what Jesus is saying. Another one. Keep my commands, verse 10. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. So that's another answer. Keep his commands, and you will remain in his love. In Jude's epistle, Jude chapter 20, sorry, Jude verse 20, he says, keep yourselves in the love of God. That's interesting, isn't it? You, beloved, build yourselves up in your most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And so there's things we can do to actually remain, and remembering also that God is faithful. And the Bible in many places says, be on your guard. It says it in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Guard your heart. Because it's going to go astray unless you consciously make the effort to say, Lord, I'm going to go your way. I want to go with you. Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart with all vigilance, for from it come the springs of life. And that's talking about not to, coil suspension springs. It's talking about water springs, sources of water, sources of life. Guard your heart, because from that come the springs of life. And Jesus said, whoever believes in me, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. He himself, or she, will be a source of life. And that's talking about the Holy Spirit flowing through us. But the Holy Spirit isn't going to flow unless we guard what is within us. And by that means consciously guarding ourselves from the temptations of the world, the flesh, and the devil, and consciously saying, Lord, I'm going to go your way. Now, of course, the idea of the world is completely the opposite. What is the world's attitude? If it feels good, do it. That was the message of the 60s, wasn't it? For those of us who grew up in the 60s, a very long time ago, if it feels good, do it. And a lot of the thinking of the modern world came from Sigmund Freud, who said, you've got to fulfil all those desires that you have in you. You've got to do them, otherwise you'll be all restrained and restricted, and you'll wither and die. But actually, Freud was wrong. And the Bible says that our inner desires are corrupt because they are deceitful. That's in Ephesians 4, chapter 4, verses 22. Unless we are actually consciously following Jesus, the desires of our heart are going to be deceitful. They'll promise much, but they'll deliver nothing. They will not satisfy. And here is Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 22. Put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So there's Paul saying, you're going to change. Those old desires, they're no good, they're deceitful, but you can be renewed in the spirit of your minds. God's Holy Spirit can transform your mind through what he says to you and through the word of God, the Bible as well. Jesus warned about this as well in the parable of the sower. And he's talking about the word of God is like a seed. And a farmer throws out the seed, and some of it lands on good soil and it bears fruit. Some of it lands on hard soil or among thorns. The birds come and pick it up. It doesn't bear fruit. And part of that is being sown among thorns. As for the seed that was sown among thorns and gets choked by the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. And it's in Mark's gospel as well. The others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desire for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. Paul said much the same to Timothy. In Paul's letter to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20. Timothy, guard the deposit entrusted to you. Avoid the irreverent babble and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge, for by professing it, some have swerved from the faith. So, the Bible says guard it. We actually have to make sure and choose consciously to abide in the vine and to go God's way. But of course, he will help you in that. He gives us his spirit of power to actually help us and keep us on that straight and narrow way. Pray for the peace of God too. The peace of God will guard us. Listen to this. Philippians chapter 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Isn't that wonderful? For everybody to be reasonable. Sometimes a challenge, isn't it? Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. There it is. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And he gives more hints after that. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honourable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, that's Paul saying, practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. And the peace of God which passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That's a wonderful promise. A lot of the battle, and it is a battle to stay following Jesus, is in the mind. But here Paul is saying, think about what's good. Don't think about all the rotten, horrible things that go on in this world. Set your mind on what Jesus and what God is doing, what is pure and honourable. Because God is holy, and he says, I am holy, you must be holy too. What about when you can't, and it's difficult to abide in the vine, and God seems distant? You're praying, you're saying, Lord, I want your Holy Spirit to guide me, but it's difficult. Can't seem to focus in, can't seem to hear what God is saying, can't seem to understand it. And the Psalms, that's the book of songs and prayers in the Bible, it's full of people complaining about the difficulties of finding God. And they cry out to God and pour out their complaint to him. Lord, it's hard. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know where you are. Lord, where are you? Do something. And God answers. He answers an honest prayer like that, if your heart is to follow him. The Youth with a Mission used to have an old saying, growth without struggle produces little strength. And that's very true in nature. Unless there's a struggle, things that grow in nature are weak, and they're subject to all kinds of pressures that come from the environment. Disease, storms, too much rain, too little rain. Growth without struggle produces little strength. And that kind of goes well with abiding in the vine, which is the thing that grows. As I mentioned, there are examples in nature. Insects hatching, for example. If you see a butterfly struggling out of its chrysalis and it's going to sit on a branch and dry out and then fly away, if you help it out, it won't be able to do that, because it needs that struggle to actually increase its internal blood pressure to force fluid into all those veins in the wings to stretch them out so it can fly. If you help it out, it will never fly and it will die. That's kind of harsh, isn't it? Chicks hatching are the same. If you help a chick out of its egg when it's trying to bust its way out the egg, if you help it out and break the egg open for it, it'll just flop around and it won't actually have the strength to walk. You have to let nature take its course there. Growth without struggle produces little strength. And it's the same for the Christian too. We do have to struggle. I think God understands that. He understands the struggle. He understands it's difficult to abide in the vine. But we need that struggle. We need to work through those doubts and those temptations to actually be strong in what we believe and know in our hearts that God is with us. And then we'll be able to walk with him in the Spirit, know his faithfulness and his strength. And the other thing is to remember it's about faith, not feeling. We need to trust God, believing that what he said is true. There are promises of God. For example, Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And we need to say, okay, well, I don't feel like you're here, Lord. I can't sense your presence. I feel down in the dumps. I don't know where I'm going. But you said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And I believe it. And it said that was why Abraham was a friend of God. He believed God. And God counted Abraham as righteousness, as righteous. And God was the friend of Abraham. What did Peter say? Lord, to who else shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Peter knew that Jesus was the one who was going to say the words that would actually lead them into life. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. The Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. There's an evil one out there. There's a battle. There's a devil who doesn't want you to abide in the vine. He'll do everything he can to try and lead you away and distract you. So that's growth and struggle and abiding. What about pruning? We read about pruning here, didn't we? My father is the gardener. This is verse 1. Verse 2, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Well, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. It seems wrong, doesn't it, sometimes, to let go of things that have brought life and fruit in the past. But for this, we need to be guided by the Holy Spirit. Lord, what activities do you want me to be involved in my life? What activities do I need to leave to others? And sometimes, we just need to let the Lord guide us and put our efforts into some things, but not into others. And sometimes it's hard to let go of things that have been good in the past. But we need to listen very carefully to the Spirit and closely, because he will guide us. And if he wants something, if he wants our lives to change, shift direction, or change some of our activities, he'll make that clear as we walk with him day by day and as we listen to him in prayer. So we need to be guided by the Holy Spirit in what to have in our lives. And that applies to our church life as well, of course. Pruning. Verse 3 is lovely. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. When listening to the word of God, reading what Jesus said in the Bible, has a cleansing effect. Paul talks about being washed with water by the word. And when we feel, oh, you know, I'm not really fit for God's presence, I'm not that good a person, read the word of God and ask him to implant his word in you. And it has a cleansing effect. And because we've listened to the word of God in the past, we said, Lord, I want to go your way. We are clean. Jesus is saying, you're clean because I've spoken to you and your words are in, my words are in you. And then remain in me as I also remain in you. Jesus also remains in us. Once we've invited Jesus into our heart, he remains there. He doesn't sort of come and go as he pleases. His promise is, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He remains within you, as you can remain within him. Now, there's something else we need to consider. Jesus said, verse 15, I am the true vine. The true vine. So, if there's a true vine, is there a fake vine? Is there a counterfeit vine? And I think, yes. Jesus said, the way that leads to life is straight and narrow. The way that leads to destruction is broad. And many go that way. It's broad and easy. Many go that way. And certainly in the early church, there were many false apostles, false teachers. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul talking about men who are false apostles, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. It's no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. And there are plenty of things that look righteous, but actually they're not. They're actually from the devil. And we need to be careful that through the word of God, we understand which vine we're actually getting our sustenance from. 1 Timothy, Paul's letter to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 4. The Spirit expressly says, that's quite a firm word there. This is definitely what the Holy Spirit is saying. In later times, some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared, who forbid marriage and require abstinence from foods that God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. And I'm not going to sort of go into what that could be today. That's a whole subject in itself. But there are other vines that are not the true vine that you can get your source of life from. In the world particularly, there are many agendas that the Bible is quite clear. These are not from God. And Paul said, test everything. How can we know that we're taking sustenance from the true vine? By the witness of the Holy Spirit within us, we'll feel, okay, yeah, that's right, that's what God is saying. By the word of God, the Bible. And Paul says, test everything by those two things, by the Bible and by the witness of the Spirit within you. There is a cost to abiding in Jesus. And we're going to read on now from John chapter 15, verse 18. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. And elsewhere the Bible says we are like strangers and exiles in this world. We're just passing through. Our destination is above. That is why the world hates you. Remember what I told you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because the one who sent me... They will treat you this way because of my name. For they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father as well. If I had not done among them the works no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. As it is, they have seen and yet they have hated both me and my Father. This is to fulfill what is written in their law. They hated me without a reason. When the Advocate comes, that's the Holy Spirit, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. And I just want to read on in chapter 16 a few verses. All this I have told you so that you will not fall away. Jesus is saying this so that they can abide in him, that they won't fall away. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think they are offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this so that when their time comes, you will remember that I warned you about them. There. The way Jesus puts this, it's clear he's talking about persecution against Christians done specifically by the Jews. They will put you out of the synagogues. Okay, so it's persecution by Jews against Jews. And certainly throughout the book of Acts, the persecution that the Christians received was from the Jews, mostly. And the Romans initially didn't have much interest in making life difficult for Christians. In fact, generally, they defended Paul, particularly from the violence of the Jews against him. And later on, persecution from the Romans, when it occurred, was generally stirred up by the Jews. But it was only later, when, as the Roman Empire became more and more corrupt and perverse, that the empire itself became the source of persecution against Christians. And so it is in the world. The world generally is hostile to Christianity. If you're being persecuted, it doesn't much matter where it's coming from. It's not pleasant. But as the centuries went by, the world at large decides from time to time that Christianity is unacceptable and it must be done away with. And that's actually very much the case in our own nation today. There's real pressure for secularization, in the institutions and in academia, pressure for secularization. And in America, prayer and the Ten Commandments are banned in schools because they want to have a purely secular society, and the Ten Commandments are like religion. And somebody rather dryly remarked, they did away with the Ten Commandments. They've had to replace them with metal detectors. Go figure, as the Americans would say. Some people have described this as sawing off the branch that supports them. You ever seen the picture of a chap sawing away at a branch of a tree, and he's actually sitting on that branch? And civilization is held up by the teachings of Christianity, mostly. That's what makes us a civilized nation. It's the teachings of Christianity. Doing away with that, not a good idea. And there are organizations in this country today, one called Christian Concern, another one called Citizen Go. They exist. They're mostly lawyers. They exist specifically to defend Christians who've lost their job or otherwise been prosecuted because they are Christians. That actually happens quite a lot in our nation today. So those are organizations worth supporting. Pressure for secularization. And certainly, the way the world is going is not the way that God wants us to go. And there's a lot, that's a whole subject in itself, but we won't go into that right now. But as strangers and exiles in this world, we are called to abide in Jesus. We're called to follow him, to keep in step with the Holy Spirit, to love him, and to be like him, to love one another, and to show the love that he has for us to one another. And certainly in the early church, it was said of the Christians, see how they love each other. We're all full of hate, but look at this lot. They actually love each other, and they seem to love us too. And Romans historians who've actually led us records of this couldn't really understand it, because, of course, they didn't know the love of Jesus themselves. But we do. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that we belong to you. Thank you that you chose us. Lord, we didn't choose you, but you chose us, and all we did was respond, Lord. And Lord, thank you that we are now in the vine. Lord, thank you that we receive that life flowing from you. Lord, that day by day, Lord, you give us what we need, Lord, to keep in step with you. And thank you, Lord, that it leads to eternal life, abundant life. Thank you, Lord, for that destination that we have that is above. Will you fill us all afresh, Lord, with your Holy Spirit? Lord, just touch each of us. Speak your word into our hearts. Let us be holy. Let us be healed. Let us become like you. In Jesus' name, amen.